Bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, it's truly a time that we are filled with two emotions. On one hand, we are amazed by what we see. On the other, we are excited that we are seeing the gleams of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Father, give us eyes unlike the eyes of the world. Give us a wisdom that transcends what is written on the pages of CDC reports and official documents. Help us now to turn to your word and remember that what is taking place about us has been forecasted as the harbingers that will appear just before you return. Now speak to us this morning, and may our hearts be encouraged as we walk through the document of what is taking place. Give us wisdom and understanding that we may do the important thing, a change within us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. The songwriter said it best, "'Tis almost time for the Lord to come," I hear the people say. So when we see the things that are taking place about us, we can comfortably and confidently turn back to God's Word and know that what is happening, as my elder and my good friend Jay Christian said in our Sabbath school class, this is not a head-slapping moment for God. He's not trying to figure out, what do I do next? These are signs that what he said would come to pass is taking place about us. And soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Very short but very potent passage. But know this, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Read that one more time with me. 2 Timothy 3:1 together, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. We can almost abbreviate that by saying perilous times have come. Most likely you won't know who he is. But if you were alive during that time, you might remember. If I jostle your memory, you may remember what he is known for. His name is one that you got to have a good memory to remember him. And you have to have a little bit of age to even have heard his name. Vic Perrin was known as the ominous voice of the 1960s. In reality, he was simply the opening narrator described as the control voice. Maybe I'll jostle your memory with the following words. Now, if you were born in 1980 or 1990, bear with us. If you were born in 2000, pray for us, because you won't even know what I'm about to say. But parents, come with me on the journey to yesterday, when you heard these words and you sat on your couch and breathed shallowly and did not move. Victor Perrin said, "There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling the transmission. Are you going back with me? For the next hour, sit quietly, and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there's nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits." I wish the old people would say amen. Now, I want to say, I don't remember that. I saw the reruns because I was but a little spurt during the times and don't remember it very well, but the outer limits. And adults sat spellbound. The Outer Limits came around at a time when televisions finally had the ability to adjust the picture, the horizontal and the vertical. Is anybody here old enough to remember when you had to adjust the vertical? When your television would jump fast and then it just slowed down and slowed down until you got it right. And the husband was hailed as the electronic genius of the family. And then you would adjust until the picture came in clear. Or you might do like some of the older people did. You got aluminum foil. And you played the game. Adjust the antenna. Until finally it showed up. And everybody hailed Dad as the smartest one in the family. Church family, when you look at your television today, I must reiterate, there's nothing wrong with your television set. What you see is actually happening. Don't attempt to adjust the picture, because it's only going to get worse. And with unmistakable accuracy, I can say that we have finally entered the outer limits of our imagination. Because never in my wildest dream would I believe that I would be alive to see what's happening on our planet today. Regardless of the country, regardless of its gross domestic product, regardless of the wealth or the poverty of every citizen on this planet, there is not a person living and breathing today that is not or will not be impacted by what is taking place in our world. For the first time in modern history, the world has taken a collective breath in anticipation of what is coming next. Some surgeons have said, and I quote what you may have heard on 3ABN, that the program this morning that was aired, you may catch it again this afternoon or you may catch it in the evening, but one of the doctors said that COVID-19 will infect 70 to 80% of all Americans. Well, I was shocked when I heard that. And I called a good friend of mine who used to work at Walter Reed Hospital there. He was a security clearance forensic pathologist for the Pentagon. And I asked him, I said, what is your assessment of what's taking place? He said, about 80% of Americans will be infected by the COVID-19 virus. 80%. You do the math. If America alone was impacted by, on this scale of 80%, that's well above 200 million people. He's not saying that 200 million will die. He would say at least 70 to 80% will be infected. I go carefully. And what I'm going to do today, if you're watching or listening by internet, I was encouraged to know as I took out the red books, the words of that faithful messenger of God, Ellen White, and I began to thumb through some very reliable quotations. I began to see that what we are experiencing today has not only been foretold by Christ and by the prophets, that we would live in perilous times and that there would be pestilences and earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. We've heard those scriptures before. But the surprising part of it is that we are actually living to see it take place. We are living, we are dwelling in grand and awesome times. One of the ones that came to my mind as I began to search, and the only challenge I had was, what do I leave out and what do I include? So allow me today to walk you through the times in which we live, times that are perilous. In Testimonies for the Church, volume 9, page 43, I read this very short sentence. We are on the very verge of the time of trouble. And perplexities that are scarcely dreamed of are before us. Now, how many of you would have dreamed of this present scenario? In our wildest imagination, we have heard things before like the swine's flu or the avian flu or The list goes on and on, or AIDS, or a number of epidemics that have tried to grip the entire world, but it kind of got close and then it died out. But there's something different when these indescribable diseases find a way to enter into the borders of America, in this country where we find ourselves so technically advanced, so intellectually superior. We are reminded in this day and age that there is no safety outside of Jesus Christ. There's nobody that can say because of wealth or fame or notoriety. You've heard the news. Even the most famous are susceptible. Even the wealthiest are susceptible. The politicians are susceptible. And for the first time in modern history, we are confronted with an indiscriminate contagion that does not choose between the wealthy or the poor, between those of high class and those of low class. For the first time, the entire world has arrived at a time of unpredictable apprehension. And I watch the different news, whether Fox or ABC or NBC or CBS or CNN. For the first time, they're all singing the same song. Because right now, it's not about Republican or Democrat. It's not about who's going to be the next president or who is the president. Everybody is caught in this unpredictable apprehension. There is an irreversible, fearful anxiety that has descended on humanity. And our leaders, pray for them. Come on, somebody, pray for them. Our president, pray for him. Our congressional leaders, our senators, our governors, our mayors, pray for them, because when the day is over, they simply have a title before their name. They are no different in the eyes of God than you and I. But they have great responsibility. There is an irreversible, fearful anxiety that has finally descended on humanity as well as on the United States. And calamities, if you study the Bible, you'll find that calamities and disease are Satan's tools to prepare the world for what is coming. Read the story of Job. The Lord allowed Job to experience disease and calamity and pestilence, only to remind the enemy that when we are in the hands of God, we may go through difficulty, but praise the Lord, God always has the last word. In the book, Great Controversy, page 589, I would strongly recommend that you take the Great Controversy off the shelf and begin to read content that is ahead of the very next news broadcast. If you are informing yourself, you don't have to guess what's coming down the line. We could actually call news networks and say, here's what's coming next, because God has given us insight behind the curtain of the unpredictable. In the book, The Great Controversy, page 589 in paragraph 2, listen. In accidents and calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, that mean firestorms like on the West Coast, the ones that wiped out Paradise, California. In these great uncontrollable conflagrations, the states burning up, Australia fires out of control. What we don't understand is these are little indicators of what is on a larger scale that is yet to come. When men go beyond their resources and the abilities of hundreds of firefighters, thousands of resources, airplanes, helicopters, and they cannot put out these great conflagrations, it is an indication God is showing man that you are really not in control. Our only safety is, as the song says, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. In fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms, just in Tennessee, a day after we flew out of Nashville, Tennessee, you were here, you heard about it, an awful, unpredictable hurricane didn't come to the outlying areas alone, but it came right through Nashville. As we went, that tornado, as we went through Nashville coming back from the airport, we thought to ourselves, what happened if we left that very day? And thank the Lord, it missed our airport. and it almost devastated another airport in the Nashville area. But in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstones, yesterday it began to hail. Did you notice that? Right here in Thompsonville, hailing on our porch. In tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes, in every place and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follow. Listen to this. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. That's what we're going through right now. But listen to what Ellen White says. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. In other words, as the person on the street would say, you ain't seen nothing yet. In just 2 weeks, when I did that sermon a few weeks ago called Pandemic, I stood before you and said, this disease has spread to 57 countries. I stand before you 2 weeks later and say it's now in 123 countries. In just 2 weeks, COVID-19 spread from 57 to 123 countries. I went on the internet to the CDC website and began to go down the list. Before we went to Trinidad, Trinidad wasn't on the list, but Trinidad and Tobago are on the list. My brother called me last night from the Virgin Islands, and he said, we were issued by the governor of the Virgin Islands, the U.S. Virgin Islands. He said, we are encouraging our citizens to prepare as though a hurricane was coming. And my brother said, well, when it gets too rough, I'm going to take my boat and go to the next island we call Water Island. He said, I'm just going to lay on the beach by myself until it all passed by. I said, do you have enough food? He said, the lines are too long. People are buying everything that moves. You've been to Walmart. Strangely enough, the things that people should be buying, healthy food, they're not buying. Tomatoes should all be gone. You know, bananas should all be gone. On the opposite side, they said all the snacks are gone. That shows you what kind of world we live in. There should be no bananas, no cucumbers, no apples, but they're still there. So if you're healthy, there's food remaining. But the water and the toilet paper kind of gives you an understanding of what people think of as urgent. Man, you cannot get caught in times like these. And I'll leave it right there. But if you think about what's unfolding before us, most major sports seasons in America and the world have been canceled. NBA, NBC, I mean NBA, NFL, baseball, whatever. You know the acronym, baseball. Canceled. Disney, Disney World and Disneyland shut down. Schools around the world and America closing or are closed. Indefinitely, right now they set a date, but we pray that by that time, we got to be in prayer. We pray that by that time, this thing has passed or is beginning to be minimized. Major airlines are minimizing or canceling many travel routes. Delta Airlines is grounding many of their planes. American Airlines, they said they are involved in super cleaning, putting in filters that can circulate the air and try to minimize the possible contagion. But the impact financially and economically is going to be horrendous. And as the mayor of New York City and the governor of New York City said, he said, companies, they are encouraging companies to send their employees home. And he says, if we try to reimburse the people of New York City for lost wages, it will bankrupt the city. And some companies are asking their employees, like Disneyland and Disney World, they're asking them to volunteer their time. How can you do that when you have bills to pay? Now we begin to see how dangerous it is to be in debt. In some countries, airports are like ghost towns. And we know that many countries are closing their borders. What's happening? Let me read again the words of inspiration. Maranatha, page 216 in paragraph 4. Speaking about how Satan will be involved in the mix. while appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. That's already happening. And then the great deceiver will persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. Churches in California and other cities have canceled church services. Crowds of more than 50 are being prohibited in California. In other states, 250 or less. In America, the National Guard is being activated in some major towns and some smaller cities. They're praying, pray for New York, pray for New York City. Because right now, I know as a native of New York, I keep in touch with my sister every day, but it appears as though that city is so fragile that if the governor, they already declared a nation of emergency, but if they were ever to declare on a larger scale what some of these other cities have, I can tell you, many years ago, there was a movie that was entitled Escape from New York. That may become a repeat. And I told my sister yesterday, I said, now, you visited me before. If you need to leave, come on out to Thompsonville, where we still feed the birds, and the raccoons show up every day for their nightly snack. And so far, we are still sane. Amen, somebody. But large businesses are closing. Some companies are that have many floors in these large, tall skyscrapers in New York are sending groups of floors by the two to this location and that location in Brooklyn and in New Jersey, so that if the company begins to be a pandemic themselves and people are uncontrollably affected, they don't want to wipe their company out. Some of them are saying work from home. Movie theaters, amusement parks, Broadway plays in New York City closed. Major stores and shopping areas in large cities are closed or closing. Food supplies are vanishing from store shelves. People are beginning to enter a panic mode, stocking up on food, water, and supplies. When we were thinking about going to Walmart yesterday, Thursday, we said, let's go in the evening. And then yesterday when we heard how crazy things got at Walmart, we said, thank God we have our own shopping center right here in Thompsonville. Dollar General. Amen. Now don't y'all come out here to Dollar General. That's our store. Dollar General. They still had water and all the other necessities. Praise the Lord for that. America has restricted the entrance of passengers coming from Europe. They all have to go through some kind of medical test. Pray for Daria, who will be coming back from France. They are asking people that have come back or coming back from some of these places to enter into a voluntary quarantine. And even politicians in our president's administration have self-quarantined themselves. And the question is, what's next? Only God knows. But this next quotation is one that I thought, if ever there was a time that it had a relevance and a context, it is now. Listen carefully. The book Education, page 179. The present, the what? The present is a time of overwhelming interest to all living. Rulers and statesmen, men who occupy positions of trust and authority, thinking men and women of all classes have their attention fixed upon the events taking place about us. Is that true? They are watching the strained, restless relations that exist among the nations. They observe the intensity that is taking possession of every earthly element. And they recognize that something great and decisive is about to take place, that the world is on the verge of a stupendous crisis. Here we are. But let me give you the words of the Apostle Paul. Because when we understand what we're reading, the Apostle Paul puts this in such a beautiful context. He has a message to the Thessalonians that applies to us today. Listen to what he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. He says, but concerning the times and seasons, talking about right now, he says, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Why is he saying that, Jim? Because he's saying, you've got information in your possession that nobody else has. And the only way that the times and seasons can catch a Seventh-day Adventist off guard is if we are not reading and studying what God has blessed us with to know long before this has arrived. Concerning the times and season, and notice what he says, for you yourselves know, what's the next word? Perfectly, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say together, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and the ending part together, and they shall not escape. The only answer, I say this again, and I will say this a number of times during the only answer and the only security we have is to not so much be frightened by what's taking place around us, but we can be secure by what is taking place within us. This is the hour of self-examination. This is the hour that we must know that we stand on that sure foundation. This is the hour that we must know that we can trust God's word. This is the hour that we can trust Bible verses such as Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. When you read that, the Bible says God will hide those who trust him in his secret place. And I pray for our leaders, because I could understand. I tell you, a lot of people fighting over being president. I wouldn't want to be president at any time. But I want you to pray for our president, because right now, as of yesterday, our president declared tomorrow as a national day of prayer. He said, it is my great honor to declare Sunday, March 15th, as a national day of prayer. It normally would come in the month of May, but because of all this calamity, he has moved it up to tomorrow. Let me tell you, friends, don't wait till tomorrow to pray. You better pray without ceasing. We are a country that throughout our history has looked to God for protection and strength in times like these. 9/11, people asked the question on 9/12, where was God? You know my response was? He was the same place he was on 9/10. God has not moved his address. He did not disconnect his phone. If you seek the Lord while he may be found, you won't be groping for him when darkness comes. But there's something too, and I want to build on what I just said about Sunday being a national day of prayer. To the Catholic Church, hurrah. To the evangelical world, hurrah. But when you phrase national day of prayer, Sunday, you can only rephrase that and say national Sunday law. It's just a hint. It's just a harbinger. It's just a test. If we can all agree that this day we must gather together, Sunday, as a nation we must pray. Just simply say, as a nation we must pray. Don't pick a day, because you leave out the entire Jewish community and those who honor God's Bible Sabbath. And it may be innocent, which I believe to some degree, even the smartest leaders and politicians don't understand that what's happening under the surface is far more deadly than what's happening on the surface. Listen to this. I read Great Controversy once again, because never before has the world been so ripe to accept any solution for the crisis that is multiplying at lightning speed. If they said to us today, okay, we have a solution, but here's what you have to do. I don't know of anybody who's willing to forego and hold on to anything if the medical community said, we've got an answer, we have a solution, but here are the parameters that must be followed in order for you to be a benefactor to the medical benefits. Either you do this or you don't get the vaccine. Either you follow the line, and brethren and sisters, you know when you read the Bible, when Jesus says you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. He said, these are just the beginning of sorrows, but the end is not yet. And the very next phrase he says, then they will deliver you up to be afflicted, and you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Why will the time come, and how will the time come, that the people of God will be hated of all nations for his name's sake? Because when the choice is to be made between honoring his name and acquiescing and lining up with all nations, the people of God will make the decision to honor his name. That's what is being said. You will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's when there will be a clear distinction between those who worship him in spirit and in truth and those who worship him according to convenience. Because there's a major role that America is going to play in the final stages of the great controversy. We may appear to be the last nation in line with all these tests, but make no mistake about it. America is not out of the loop. In the book, The Great Controversy, page 590, paragraph 1. Are you listening? It will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath, that this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced, and that those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, that is the Bible Sabbath, thus destroying reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people, preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. Translate. If the entire world says this is the answer, and beginning with the local community leaders, then the mayor, then the senators, then the governor of the states, seek community by community to bring the people in harmony with the decisions made in that state. And there's a small pocket of people that resist by saying, the decisions you have made are not in harmony with my religious convictions taken from God's word. You got to come down to choosing between honoring God, and the Bible says that in Revelation 13. That's what the Hebrew worthies had to choose. When the plain of Dura in Babylon was established and the image was set up, they were told, when you hear the sound of the music, do what every other nation is doing and bow down and worship. And you know the rest of the story. They chose not to. You see, my brethren, these are the times that we must honor God more than we fear man. Because God may not keep you out of the furnace, but he knows how to turn it into a nice short vacation. Under his wings we shall trust. His truth shall be our shield and our defense. Why do they keep bringing Sunday to the forefront when some kind of calamity comes up, some kind of disease? Here's the reason why. And I tell you what, many of the leaders don't know. Councils for the Church, page 335, paragraph 2. Praise the Lord for this inspiration. The Sunday movement is now making its way in darkness. The leaders are concealing the true issue. And many who unite in the movement do not themselves see whither the undercurrent, the what kind of current? Undercurrent is tending. Its professions are mild and apparently Christian, but when it shall speak, it will reveal the spirit of the dragon. In other words, political leaders are making decisions that, based on the data they have and the consultation they get, it seems to be the right thing to do. But when you begin to connect it to a particular day, they have no clue where the undercurrent is tending. You know what an undercurrent is? When you try to swim in an ocean that looks nice and smooth, and you don't know that the shoreline is steep, it has an undercurrent that while you're swimming in, it's pushing you out. And it looks comfortable and smooth on the surface, but what's taking place below is far more dangerous than what you see. Once again, the Apostle Paul takes us back to counsel for those of us who are living in this trying hour. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 to 6. He once again appeals to those who should know. He says, but you, brethren, what are the next four words? Are not in what? Darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the what? Of light, and not sons and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, I love this part. Can you read it with me? Let's read it together. Therefore what? Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be what? Watch and be sober. In other words, there ought to be a different reaction among us than there is in the general Christian population. There ought to be a different attitude. We see it coming, make wise decisions, but don't walk around filled with indescribable fear as though somehow God has lost control, because God is still in control. Don't walk around and say in society among people that don't know God, what do we do next? Because somebody would say, if you don't know what to do next and you know God, what am I supposed to do? Right? If you have the flashlight, shine it. You are not of the night. You are children of the light. You are children of the day. That means you've got light that other people need. That's why I want you to pray for me. I can't tell you in detail, but I have a meeting later on this week that I want you to pray, and I'll tell you the details if the Lord is guiding in this, which I believe He always is guiding, I'll tell you next Sabbath. But pray for me. I have a meeting this week that I'm asking for God to give wisdom and guidance. But brethren, it is too late for the people of God who has the understanding, who has light, who knows what's coming. Who else knows as clearly as we do what's happening in the four kingdoms of the world? Who understands the happenings during the dark ages? Who knows about Sunday law here and Sunday law there? Who understands about the Protestant Reformation as God has given us light? This light ought to give us a stability that is unseen in other aspects of society. So when somebody comes to you, as was the case when I was sitting on an airplane descending in St. Louis, I was listening to my music. The plane was being tossed all over the place. And the lady said to me as I was sitting next to her, she said, why are you so calm? I said, I'm on a mission. She said, for who? I said, for God. And that's exactly what I said. And she looked at me like I was... But I gave her my music to listen to. And praise the Lord, I was listening to a song, I Know the Peace Speaker. I know him by name. And the Lord had it worked out so that by the time that song was over, the plane, Southwest Airlines, landed comfortably in St. Louis, Missouri. And when she gave me back my headset, she said, thank you for allowing me to travel with you. Brethren, what am I saying? In the midst of the storm, somebody needs to let other people on the other ships know that Jesus is on board with us. Don't be like the disciples of old. These stories are written for our admonition. The disciples have left a lesson for us that we should not repeat. in the midst of the storms and the diseases and the earthquakes and the trials and the devastations that are behind us or ahead of us, we must remember that Jesus is on board taking a nap, because it's not time for him to stand up yet. When he stands up, he will deliver his people. But there will be storms. Can you say amen? There will be things to test our faith. And whether we know it or not, Paul says to us again, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Because you have to keep in mind, as Satan was behind the devastation and disease and pestilence that came upon Job, he is behind the devastation and disease that's coming on the world. And God is allowing it so that Satan can be revealed. Let's go back to the writings of the Apostle Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Listen to the words that God has inspired for us to understand. Notice what the Bible says. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan, with all power. What else? Signs. And what else? Lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception. Or as the King James Version, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Let me tell you something. The deception that's on the heels of COVID-19 is going to be far greater than COVID-19 itself. It's simply paving the way. And to some degree, whether this leads to or doesn't lead to a Sunday law is not my concern. But it's simply a test to see how God's people will react in times like these. Because a lot of us don't know how to deal with calamity. A lot of people that live in America particularly. If you lived in India where you don't have running water, if you live in some of these countries where they don't know where their next meal is coming from, some of these places where the famine is so great that children die by the thousands every month, we haven't seen that in America. You know, the moment something happens, we go get snacks instead of good food. You know, in the midst of this, people rent 16 movies. They say, well, since I'm not going anywhere for 14 days, I'll watch a movie a day instead of reading our Bibles. We ought to be a people calibrated to the times and strengthen our walk with Christ. But listen to the last few quotations. Testimonies for the Church, page 911. Volume 9, page 11. The calamities by land and sea, the unsettled state of society. Is there an unsettled state in society? Yes. The alarms of war are portentous, meaning they are sounding everywhere, like a tornado ascending on a town, descending on a town. You can hear the sounds of war and unsettled society everywhere you turn, on the news, every channel, it's all around us. It's portentous. They forecast approaching events of the greatest magnitude. Why? The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. And this fits right here. Great changes. What kind of changes? Have there been great changes? Oh. Great changes are soon to take place in our world. And the final movements will be rapid ones. Rapid, so rapid that the moment that Dan Houghton mentioned that little iodine on 3ABN this morning, it's no longer available on Amazon. Whoosh. People are looking for answers. People are looking for protection. But there's no one, I say it for the third time, there's no one that can give us a greater security than anchoring our faith in Christ. God is allowing this evil to prevail because it is a signpost of his return. And soon this declaration will be made. Psalm 119, verse 126. Look at what's happening. The words of the psalmist says, it is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as what? Void. Soon and very soon. Read Isaiah 24. Read through the Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God's law is being trampled upon. How can you trample on the law of God and seek God for answers? You've got to honor God's law, and then God will honor your prayers. But my last quotation, Counsels for the Church, page 335 in paragraph 2. Soon, grievous troubles will arise among the nations, troubles that will not cease until Jesus comes. How fitting is that for today? As never before, here's what we ought to do. As never before, we need to press together. Do what? Press together, serving Him who has prepared His throne in heaven and whose kingdom rules over the earth. God has not forsaken His people, and our strength lies in not forsaking Him. In my closing scriptures, John 16:33. John said, "These things," quoting the words of Christ, "these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of what? Good cheer. I have overcome the world." Let me put this in perspective. This planet is only a dot in a dot called the Milky Way galaxy. God's got billions of galaxies waiting to extend an invitation for us to visit. Don't get so enamored thinking that this world is the only option, but get your eyes fixed beyond the horizon. You're going to have tribulation. It's a par for the course. But if we keep our eyes fixed on Christ, we will have peace. What else are we told by John the Revelator? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Look at these words, timely to the hour in which we live. He says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial," which is right now, "which shall come upon," how much? "The whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." This is the testing hour, not just for the world, but for the people of God. Will we endure the test? There's some people that, if you don't have faith in God, some people are inclined to say, "Why is God allowing this? Can't He stop it? Can't He control it? God can do anything." But brethren, sin has to run its course. God is not out of control, but there is something that we must do. And I share with you my last scripture. What is the purpose for which God is allowing these things to take place for us to see? Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. This is my scripture. When people used to come to me in concerts and buy CDs, I would always write on the back of it, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. This is the purpose why God allows perilous times. Here it is. "And do this, knowing the time." Do we know the time? "That now," what's that word? "Now, it is high time to awake out of sleep." In other words, begin to adjust your lives as a people that know that the plane is descending, ready to take us home. Begin to live your life as a person that knows that in just a few more moments, the final movements will have passed and Jesus would come. "Now is high time to awake out of sleep." Why? "For now." For when? "Now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." That sounds like standing at the airport. You know, when we stand at the airport and we're waiting for the plane to arrive, our tickets tell us the time of the departure. We look at the time of the departure and we ask ourselves, "Has the plane arrived yet?" We've done that many occasions. And then they keep on pushing up the departure time or making it later and later because they said the plane hasn't arrived yet. But the Lord is saying to us, "Now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The plane is soon to arrive. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, what shall we do? Let's read this together. This is our commission. Let us do what, church? Cast off the works of darkness. And what else? Let us do what else? Put on the armor of light. What about our relationships? Let us walk properly as in the day. Live an honest life. Not in revelry and drunkenness. Not in lewdness and lust. Not in strife and envy and together. But put on the what? Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Perilous times is a wake-up call for the people of God. There's something terrible going on in the world, and we cannot adjust the world, but we must adjust our lives. Our attention should focus on what's going on in us. The changes around us are calling for changes within us. Today in our communion service, there'll be no foot washing. It's going to be a short and to the point communion service. But I wanted to encourage you. Are we living in perilous times? Unmistakably. But our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we can peer into the annals of eternal operations, if we can look into the situation room in heaven, we can probably see the Lord saying, I've only got four more things left on my list before the Father sends me to bring His children home. So today, as we participate in the communion service, let us do our part. Let's not leave what we should do undone. Let us do our part to be ready for the coming of the Lord. In this communion service today, let us recommit ourselves to a preparation that will give us an inner peace so that when we listen to the news and we hear numbers going up or going down or new measures being affected politically or socially or locally, that it won't trouble us. It'll just simply say to us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Shall we pray? Our loving Father in heaven, You said it, and it's happening. Perilous times have come. But there are no perilous times in Your kingdom. The final operations are underway. Angels are hastening to and fro, roaming throughout the earth, putting that seal of divine approval on the hearts and lives of Your children. Lord Jesus, help us to make decisions that will qualify us by Your grace to not be passed by in this sealing time. May we as a people, while we are listening to the announcements around us, may we hear another sound, the sound of the angels' wings, the call of God to be sober and to be vigilant, the challenge to live godly and righteously in this present age, and the blessed assurance that he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Father, bless this communion service today. May we recommit ourselves. And may Your presence abide with us always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.